Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. I am Max Roe Brown, and today I am joined by Ross Legg to go over the goings on of Tuesday nights, Tuesday days, and Tuesday nights IPL fixtures between the Delhi Capitals and KKR, followed by Mumbai Indians and Punjab Kings. Ross, how are you doing?
Yeah, marvellous. Thanks, mate. Absolutely marvellous. I think we've also got to cover Sunrisers Hyderabad's kind of win over Rajasthan Royals, haven't we?
Yes. It's been a little while, hasn't it, since we've touched on goings-on in the IPL, what with people now having to do their normal jobs and normal lives. So unfortunately, the pet project of the Cricket Podcast has fallen foul of that, but we'll do our best. But before we get going, Ross, quick messages for our listeners.
We are sponsored by Woodstock Cricket. So if you need stuff, use code TCP25 and you get 25% off the cricket packs, which are brilliant. Also follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel in this video.
Wonderful. So, let's kick it off. Where should we start? Should we go chronologically? Do you want to start with Rajasthan and Sunrisers?
Yeah, I think so. I think what's the big thing here is that Sunriser fans will be absolutely furious because they finally turned up and they looked like they had a game plan from the outset. There was four changes, three of which came off. So, I mean, if you're Tom Moody or Trevor Bayliss, you're going, oh, we actually should have done this probably before. You're Jason Roy coming in for David Warner, Abhishek Sharma coming in, far better contribution than Kedar Jadhav. Siddharth Karl also came in, and then Priyam Gaur kind of failed, but never mind.
Yeah, obviously, the previous couple of games, there was a bit of a COVID issue with Natarajan, wasn't there, which I think had a knock-on effect with things. But that the knock-on effect doesn't include the fact that David Warner is not in the team. And is he done now? Is he done?
I think he's done. I think he won't play again in this IPL. I think he'll be lucky if he gets another gig in the IPL, but you know how it kind of goes, right? Sometimes you get a bit of a bit of credit in the bank and people just like, oh, this should be okay. So maybe one of the newer franchises coming in might just go, oh, having David Warner as kind of, I don't know, Pune super giants or whatever they're called, poster boy, might be something they want to do.
Yeah, and I think we've spoken about it before. There's this sort of like kind of feeling of, you know, the fact that you have a good record in history, like say 5-6 years ago, means that you are revered and held in higher esteem once your time is up for longer than perhaps you should be. And, you know, like the sense of, you know, he should be treated better because of all the things he's done in the past. It's like, well, if you want to win games of cricket, then I'm afraid you maybe just have to look at the evidence in front of you, which is that David Warner's not really cutting it at the moment. And, well, I mean, well done, Jason Roy, for coming in and taking his moment.
I love watching him bat. He's just got such a swagger about him. And then having that good intent from the start is just so important, right? And using that power play. I mean, 60 off of 42, you're taking that compared to what they were getting. Kane Williamson kind of was also allowed to kind of do his thing, kind of in that kind of anchor role. And it got them across the line, right? Which that's the important thing. I did really enjoy the fact that Kedar Yadav was dropped. and the guy coming to replace him, not only bowled okay, well, I think one over for eight, but then actually could bat, could actually knew which way to hold the cricket bat, which was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty comprehensive win in the end, wasn't it? That chase with almost an over and a half to go, seven wickets, pretty impressive. But, I mean, Rajasthan, for their part, I think will be feeling a little bit like they maybe left a few runs out there, given Sanju Sampson's blistering 82. And I think I was sort of keeping up with the score from afar. And, you know, halfway through, it was looking like, at least I think it was after when Sampson had got going, it was looking like a reasonably big total was on. And I think probably a good 20 runs below where they might have expected to be by the end, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Sampson is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. He looks in good form, has the ability to go through the gears. But when he got out against, I think it was Punjab Kings a couple of matches ago, people are like, terrible temperament, never going to fulfill his potential, blah, blah, blah. And now, last game, he kind of anchored that innings and was kind of petering it out, right, to kind of get them to a certain score. And then people were just like, well, he needs to be scoring more quickly. And it's just like, well, there's a difficult balance, right? Especially when like the rest of his middle order just is abandoning him all the time.
You'd hope Liam Livingstone would come off better than he did. I think that's a disappointment there. And I think for me, there seems to be a bit of an issue around Lomra, in that if you bowl spin at him, you will disappear, and if you bowl quick at him, he can't hit the ball. Mm. I've only seen him bat a few times, probably in this IPL, but I've already made my mind up that is the case. Just from what I've seen, he looks like he will absolutely destroy the spinners, and but less comfortable against the pacers. And you know, he ended up with a pretty much run a ball 29, which isn't really your finishing innings, is it?
No, and that's the issue I think they found. Like Livingstone got out to probably the worst ball Rashid Khan's ever bowled in the IPL. Like literally, it was like this horrible half tracker, and he just spooned it up in the air.
What it looked like to me on that, because I did see that wicket, it looked like he was trying too hard to hit it for six and get underneath it. And he was like worried about hitting the boundary. And by doing that, ended up top edging it up and falling. But that was
maybe. He was like, can I hit this ball into the gulf?
Yeah.
Yes or no? And there was a good opportunity to do it. And he missed out.
He missed out.
I think it was right as well that Evan Lewis, we talked him up on the last show, and he fell into the most basic trap of all time. He's like really, really strong off his legs and hoiking it. What they do, put two men down there, and literally the fourth ball of his innings hit him straight to it. Frustrating, I think, is probably the way. Let's just turn Livingstone for a second. His batting hasn't been quite good enough as of the end. Sometimes we're accused of English bias here. But why isn't he bowling? Surely on these UAE pitches is perfectly serviceable.
Well, if you're giving Rahul Tuatia three overs, you might as well give Liam Livingstone an over. Try something. You know, he's good. You know, he can do the matchups, can't he? He'll bowl off spin if he needs to. He'll bowl leg spin. He's a little bit unpredictable. Some of the slower pitches, maybe not in the last game, but certainly there are a few places where that kind of bowling will be tricky. We'll probably get onto one of them next. So I think there, definitely an opportunity there to mix things up a bit and try something different. And maybe he's he should be given a go. But I mean, let's face it, from what we've seen over the last few months and what Radosław Rawls need, he's in there for his batting. So that's what we really need to be focusing on, I think. Maybe has he given Ryan Parag his bat back? Is that the issue?
Yeah, maybe that's what he's actually finally done. So just before we close out on this game, Rajasthan Royals' in-game tactics are extremely questionable. You've got Chris Morris, the most expensive all-rounder in the history of the IPL. What do you say? You send in Parag and Tawatia ahead of him. And because they did this, they ended up, 15, 20 runs too short. And I'm not saying they would have won if they would have got an extra 15 or extra 20 runs, but it meant that Kane Williamson had 50 balls to go and bat. And if Kane Williamson bats 50 balls, he's going to more than likely hit 50, 60, 70 runs. If they gave him more pressure and put more pressure on Jason Roy, maybe that changes the dynamic of this game.
Potentially, yeah. That's the as well. When your innings fizzles out like that as the bowling side, you feel like you've gained a small victory there as well, don't you? It gives you that little boost of confidence to approach your chase. And honestly, I think if there were like one man in the IPL who you said to me, right, you need to pick someone to go out there and hit the last ball for six to save your life, I think I'd put Chris Morris in the top three. I'd probably have Kieran Pollard, maybe Dre Russ, and then Chris Morris up there. Like he does it so often, just comes in and smacks it.
Yeah,
well, he's done it before. He's done it this year.
Yeah, he's got nothing else, right? You're not expecting him to play a beautiful cover drive. You just say, Chris, you're about 6'5" and you're quite well built. Just go and try and smash that ball over there.
Yeah, that was utter madness. And
anyway, we're trying to keep this shorter than the hour and a half that we spent the other night. So let's move on. So what? KKR versus Delhi Capitals.
Yes, both ends of the playoff spectrum, wasn't it? Meeting at Sharjah for this one. Capitals looking to confirm their place in the playoffs and KKR looking to consolidate their position at the front of the chasing pack to try and avoid getting dragged back into the mire of all the teams sat on 8 points. Delhi Capitals batted and they struggled, didn't they? It was a slow pitch. You know, Narayan bowling slowly and straight seems to be confounding, particularly for Shreyas Iyer. And like,
bowling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. that's technically what it's called at the moment, I think, until we're told otherwise. Pant batted for 36 balls and couldn't get going. I think that sort of tells you a little bit about it. And aside from Darwin and Smith, who opened, no one got out of single figures. So it was a bit of a slow, painful innings from Delhi Capitals, especially towards the end. And quite a lot of fun in it, though. I don't know if you saw some of the sort of circus tricks going on. I think Steve Smith paddled the ball into his own stomach at one point and just lay on the floor for a bit. Pant tried to swat the ball away from his stumps as it was sort of rolling backwards and ended up nearly decapitating Dinesh Kartik, which was pretty funny. And then Ashwin and Pant took an extra run off an overthrow after it bounced off Pant, I think, and Morgan and Ashwin had a few words. So there was some good animosity there. But what was it? 130 odd chase. You'd be like, yeah, easy. But on that pitch, it was always going to be pretty tricky. And it did look that way for quite some time, especially after Rabada's wicket made in the 11th over. I think it probably dragged things, if anything, in Delhi Capitals' favour. But Sunil Narine turned up. The ghost of Sunil Narine's past has reanimated Sunil Narine, the man himself. And I think he hit 21 off 10, but I think his first 20 came off about six balls and pretty much broke the game for KKR and saw them home just after Owen Morgan had succumbed to Ravi Ashwin in the least surprising thing to happen in cricket.
I think there's a couple of things there. I think, Matt, you're right in saying that Delhi Capitals batting kind of let them down. But yes, there is a bit of a difficult pitch. But I think someone like Nitish Rana needs a bit of credit. I think he's averaging 40 this year. He's not striking very a high thing, right? But when you're playing on slow and low pitches like this, having someone who's good against spin and can hit spin is actually a massive, massive benefit. And I like how they pushed him up the order ahead of Morgan because they knew Morgan's going to be a bit of a walking wicket. And I think his innings, as well as Narine's was that kind of match-winning innings, because if they would have lost a couple of quick wickets in the middle, way too much pressure where you don't have a Dre Russ coming in. It was just fortunate that Narine kind of hit as well as he did. Tim Southee, not a like-for-like replacement for Dre Russ.
No, shock.
And if we come back to Delhi a second, so opening up with Steve Smith, that is an unbelievable downgrade from Prithvi Shaw. He hit, 39 of the 34 balls?
Yeah.
There was only four fours in there. Four boundaries in 34 deliveries.
Well, yeah, didn't even mention, did we? Delhi Capitals first team not to hit a six at Sharjah in their innings. Not impressive, given that there's a 56-metre boundary on one side.
Yeah, well, none of their top nine hit over a strike rate of 120.
No.
That's pretty poor at the smallest ground in the world.
Yeah, even if the pitch is bad, you kind of have to give it a go a bit, don't you? Like Narine, he came in and was like, you know what? I've got to try and hit some sixes here. And it would, as he knew, would sort of end the game if he did that. And there was, you know, no one really tried that for Delhi Capitals. And that sort of is sort of where they fell down a bit, I think. They got a bit stuck, didn't they?
They did, and I don't think this is time for Delhi to press the panic button. They're sitting pretty, like they're okay.
Yeah, absolutely fine.
But I think what they do need to just appreciate is that their lack of depth due to their, let's be honest, pretty poor draft approach. Like picking Steve Smith was a dumb thing to do. I mean, it's kind of come back to haunt them a little bit here and cost them a victory. Yeah. But I think Sam Billings might be a better, English bias, whatever, but Sam Billings in the middle orders, he's pretty good. And actually putting him in that side, he's good enough to be the spin hitter in the England ODI team. He's going to be good enough to do it in the kind of T20 team where he's filled in, et cetera, and especially here. He's going to be a better option than Steve Smith is. Let's be honest. They just don't need another anchor at the top. So,
no, certainly not.
My final question on here, Max, was, is there anything that Venkatesh Iyer can't do? Because he's come in and opened the batting like a superstar, and now he's bowling.
And just bowled fires in Yorkers all day. That's brilliant. What a performance from him. Well, it didn't quite happen with the bat yesterday. But yeah, when you've got the other string to your bow, that's a bit of a trump card that perhaps they didn't expect to have. KKR, so that's going to be really helpful for them. And you know, I mean, what a resurgence from them. I think we wrote them off pretty much, didn't we?
Don't say we. You, Jack, and Dan. No chance.
Well, the majority of us wrote them off in our re-preview show. But no, here we are. They're back with a vengeance. I mean, what do you think is what do you think's made the difference for them in these last few games?
I think sometimes when a team, like before, they're a bit down on confidence, etc. I think the actual 100-day break actually did them a world of good.
Kind of the 100. It was the 100.
And I just think that sometimes things just click into place, right? And sometimes I think the fact that Pat Cummins actually isn't playing in this team, and I know that sounds absolutely mad, like, because Pat Cummins is an unbelievably good cricketer. But actually sometimes having that kind of big name pressure actually puts it too much onto the team. They've already got Dre Russ, who's amazing. Sunil Narine has been around the block and been fantastic. But Lockie Ferguson's influence on this team can't go unappreciated.
Yes.
And that change in the batting lineup of finding Venki Iyer and playing him has been great. And you just see there's a bit more confidence in the way Chapati's going about it, but the way that kind of Rana's going about it as well. It's just good to see. Whether that's down to Owen Morgan and Brendan McCullum's leadership of the team, I don't know. But Morgan is becoming more and more of a specialist captain, kind of in that Mahindra Singh Dhoni role. Maybe they just both bat a nine. Maybe that's just the thing.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer. Well, I mean, you just mentioned Lockie Ferguson. We should say that he did pull up with a hamstring injury when in the bowling innings, and when he was sent out to bat in his normal batting position, we thought, oh, it must have just been cramp or something. He'll be fine. And then we saw him try and take a quick single, and realised he definitely wasn't fine. Which begs the question: why on earth send him out there when you need, like, what? You've got Rana, you've got Nitish Rana out there already. Nitish Rana's on strike, and you need like two runs to win. Why are you sending out a man with one leg?
Yeah, just sometimes it's just to be like, we've beaten you with an injured player. That's how good we are, Delhi.
All right. Okay. Yeah. It's a bit of bravado. That's the
bit of bravado.
But
I think a good win. I think a good win for KKR. That positions them quite nicely, right? And I mean, they're now on 10 points. I think they're sitting in fourth at the moment. I think they look like a good prospect. But again, if Lockie Ferguson recovers in time, we don't know. Hamstrings are weird ones, aren't they? Sometimes you're out for months. Sometimes you're out for a couple of days. So we'll have to see on that. But again, with Venki Iyer, I think they've got a great player in that space. I'm not sure they've got enough to win it. But again, when it comes down to it, Andre Russell can win you games. Narine can win you games, both single-handedly. So actually, let's see what happens.
Yep, definitely. So on to the final game of yesterday then. And, another. I wouldn't say it's not quite a must-win yet, but it was pretty close to a must-win for Mumbai and Punjab Kings. And it was a tight one, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, when we think of Punjab Kings, we think of the ball eater. And when we think of Mumbai Indians, we think of the steamrollers. And actually, this game was, I know it was like a game of cat and mouse. Really, I quite enjoyed it. And let's start with Punjab, shall we? Because I think in their position, they, with Mandy Singh coming into the side, they have played 24 players from the roster. It must be a record.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, how many have they even got in the squad? Is that the full squad?
I think it's 27. I think it's 27. Three players who have not played. And that's with like overseas players coming in, doing replacements, etc. But 24 players, that just to me screams they don't have a plan, don't understand who their best team is. And the fact that Ravi Bishnoi was only playing his sixth game of the IPL, there cannot be an Anil Kumble master plan. Like I think he's just a bit of a clown when it comes to this. Like, him and Andy Flower are kind of just like this. Let's have this big brain kind of like conversation. It's just like, no, lads, just play your best team.
Someone said, Agarwal was injured. That's why he came in. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's why they replaced Agarwal. That's not why Mandeep Singh played, because as you said, 24 players. So that meant before today, there were 23 players. So there were at least another 12 that had already played that maybe they could have picked. So which doesn't give you much confidence in your backups, does it, when you're scrabbling around for every new person? And it's not like they were trying to test an up-and-coming star, is it? He's been around the block long enough, Mandeep Singh, without really setting anything alight in particularly.
Well, let's think of it as well, right? They've got they had an issue where they were trying to fit four openers or one to threes into four batting slots. When Agarwal goes out of that side, they can bring in Sharad Khan. Instead, they bring in another opener. And it's a bit like, why would you do that? Like, why would you go through that process? Like, surely the move here is to either promote Gale or promote Markram to open up and put Sharad Khan actually into the middle order. Because at the moment, all the pressure keeps on going onto that middle order and it keeps on falling over. Because Pooran, who is a great player, strike rate of 157, a little bit inconsistent here and there, but he should not be coming in before the 10th over. That is not Pooran's game. Pooran's game is to come in and is to finish off that game and be like, right, I'm taking you down here. But it's just the thinking just doesn't seem to be there. Like, surely the right move here, regardless if Chris Gayle is kind of great against pace, great against spin or whatever, surely you open him up here.
I'd have thought so. And yeah, you want to get off to a good start and put pressure on the opposition. And I mean, the scores don't suggest it, and the way that both teams batted don't suggest it. But the players that were out there said the pitch was pretty good and that the ball was coming on. The BBC report of the game said it was a slow pitch, but from what the players actually there said, it was absolutely fine. And yeah. I think we saw.
I watched it yesterday, and genuinely, it was that bit where both teams were petrified to lose, and so that made that people talk about whether like pressure exists in kind of sporting, whether actually you should just be able to do your skill and develop your skill and deliver your skill. There is a whole mental side to this game where if Mumbai Indians would have lost this, they'd have been like, oh my God, we're actually not going to qualify for the playoffs here. And I think that makes a huge difference. We kind of talked about where people should be batting or where should be bowling, but I thought Rohit Sharma did a great job in terms of targeting kind of people, like KL Rahul now has last innings 21 of 21 balls, this innings 21 of 22 balls, all in the power play. Mm. That's ball eater central, that. But it was because Rohit bowled Krunal. The matchup bowler that he is, he put him into that position. If you open with Chris Gayle and that, they cannot open with Krunal because he'll smash him all over the place. Yeah. So there's that bit where they just, it's almost like they have read some data and they've kind of gone, yes, this is what we're going to, but they haven't interpreted it in all of the ways it could be interpreted. And they've not really considered what the opposition could possibly do.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think Sharma uses bowlers really well, generally. I mean, obviously opening with Krunal, he only went for 24 off his four overs. That was good. Nathan Coulter-Nile bowled. He was brought in and brought in to clearly do a job, which was bowl Yorkers at the death, and he did it really well. Bowled brilliantly. And, you know, Kieran Pollard, he bowled him for one over. He took two wickets. Like, that's it. Don't need any more from you. You've done your job, mate. Like, yeah, really, really well managed. I think the only blot on the copybook from that point is Trent Bolt, because obviously opening with Krunal means you don't get Trent Bolt's overs in the power play. He had to bowl a couple in the middle, in that middle period, and that didn't really go so well because, you know, it's not really what his strong suit is. But, you know, I mean, keeping Punjab down to 135, yeah, we were at that point like, oh, well, that's done, isn't it? They've won the game. But no, Ravi Bishnoi had something to say about that.
Bold, I mean, he's just class. And the fact that he's such a slight bloke, like he looked, and it's just that bit, like there's just so, he's a ball of energy, right? And I think with the way it comes out, that googly to dismiss Sky was brilliant.
He didn't have a clue, did he?
Did not pick him.
Yeah, I mean, still some concerns about Mumbai, aren't there? I mean, Rohit looks horribly out of nick, having had a pretty decent test series in England. So I don't know if he's still trying to... He might be very tired. I mean, there's also that. I mean, we have to consider, you know, they spent a long time in England playing four games of cricket. And Quinton de Kock still can't play against spin, apparently. That seems to be evident. Sky's not really done it since the return. Ishan Kishan's been dropped because he's not been batting. So that's like four guys who've been blasting runs for Mumbai Indians up until this point that aren't firing, which isn't ideal. But Pandya and Pollard came to the party and blasted them home, showing that the pitch probably was actually not too bad, and just playing some fearless cricket and like taking the game and just saying, you know what? Something special is needed here, and we're going to do it. I mean, they ended up needing 10 and over by the end on a chase of 136, which is pretty mind-boggling when you think about it. But they were excellent. And for me, highlighted why Mumbai Indians are such a good side, which is that they've just got so many get-out-of-jail-free cards in that lineup. You know, like the top four didn't fire, Pandya and Pollard did it. Or like your bowlers don't fire, you've got Bumrah. You've got Rahul Chahar, you've got even Krunal Pandya, you know, yesterday. And that's why we wax lyrical about them so often, isn't it? Just they have that all the way through.
Yeah, and it's not like so many people talk about, oh, the whole team needs to be consistent, right? Actually, you probably need a couple of match winners in there to come off every game, right? And that's okay. If you've got 11 match winners,
yeah,
brilliant. You've got a really good approach. I've got a bit on here around how Tiwari actually did a pretty good job in this bit. So I think there's a real risk. Like you could see de Kock was really struggling on how he was actually going to bat, how he was going to hit some runs. I think he went a less than 100. And it was quite turgid to actually watch them bat. But they built up that platform. And because Punjab Kings hadn't hit enough runs, they had way too many balls, it allowed Pandya to actually settle in.
Mm.
So Pandya got a protected, 20 balls, where he could kind of do what he wanted to do. And actually giving someone like Hardik Pandya, I think he faced 30 balls in the end.
Yeah.
Giving him that is mad, right? In if you compare his runs in 2020, so I think he was a strike rate of 180, pretty much, at an average of 35. This IPL, he had an average of about 8, striking at 110.
Mm-hmm.
So, major difference. Major guy looking for form, just wants a bit of time at the crease. And unfortunately, that's what Punjab Kings gave them. And I thought that as much as they put the pressure on in terms of opening up with Markram, trying to play that cat and mouse, using Bishnoi quite well.
And Nathan Ellis bowled brilliantly.
He did bowl really well. Another Aussie who I thought did well, Nathan Coulter-Nile. Didn't think I'd say that. Went at under five.
Yeah.
Well bowled to him. But just think again, there are those small bits in the game where Punjab Kings, they do like, say, 40% of the things correct, and the other 60 are just like weird, just weird things. One of the funniest things, though, that we haven't mentioned is Tiwari being hit in the nads by Ashdeep.
God, yeah. I just slung the ball back and, throwing... I'm surprised he got away without any sanction for that. Like, he literally picked the ball up in the follow-through and just chucked it at the batsman. You can't do that. Yeah, I'd be livid.
I think there's a joke in there about being balls deep, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it. it was still quite funny. But Tiwari kind of got up, fortunately, and kind of carried on.
Yeah, if it hit Tiwari a little higher, he would have had some sore abs.
Maybe some sore abs. But it makes the... so that means that Mumbai Indians leapfrog Punjab Kings, and they are now tied on points with KKR, seeing in fifth. So, I mean, with what? Yeah. There's four games for some of them, three games to go for the others. I mean... Every game counts now.
Yeah.
It's time to put your big boy trousers on and see what happens.
And when RCB lose today, there's going to be even more carnage.
Yeah, sure will. I think that is everything, Max, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if this will be out in time to tell people that we'll be live after the RCB game this evening with me and Dan Weston. I think hopefully it will be. But join us for that and join us for some more IPL over the next week or so. But until then, thanks for listening and see you next time.
Like and subscribe.
Like and
subscribe.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.